the LGBTQ podcast that gives you news and views from a non-straight perspective. This is Not Straight Cast, episode 38. Hey, Becca!
Hey, Joe!
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Remember we were talking about the spring of deception?
Yes,
it is finally again. Here. Yeah, we're back to winter.
Yeah.
But it's definitely spring now.
Technically, yeah, there are green things growing on the trees in back of my place, but
and it's so windy out, they're gonna blow all off the trees.
All of it.
It's gonna be all on your car, right?
Yeah.
My friend down in Atlanta sent me a picture of his car and it's covered in pollen. Completely, utterly covered in pollen. So we haven't hit that quite yet here in the Pittsburgh area.
The pollening.
but we're headed towards it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
but anyways, yeah, we have Easter coming up here.
We do. It's the next weekend. Not this weekend coming up, but the following.
Correct. Yeah, it's like the 31st of March.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Sue's coming in that weekend.
And are you guys doing anything fun for Easter?
No. I don't ever celebrate. If I didn't have anything to do, my coworker Terry would have probably invited me over, but
I am. You know. So, well, that's cool.
What are you doing?
You're spending some time there with Sue. I am spending time with my family. We're going to Olive Garden. Yay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we do this every year. So this is kind of a tradition at this point here. And like my parents, like every time they tell me this, it's like, yeah, we're going to Olive Garden. They sound disappointed. Probably because they're vegetarians. So there's probably not a whole hell of a lot at Olive Garden that you can eat pasta wise. That's vegetarian. Are they
vegan?
No, they're just vegetarian.
Okay.
And not necessarily the healthiest vegetarians at that.
I got you. I always get the salad.
Right. Yeah. The salad and the breadsticks. Yeah.
That's what I usually get, is the soup salad thing.
Exactly. You know, what's kind of odd though. I can't eat soup anymore because it has way entirely too much sodium in it.
Yeah, it really does.
Which kind of leads me to like, it's like, you know, did you give up anything for Lent?
I give up salt. Me? Me? No, I didn't give up anything for Lent.
Yeah, and I didn't give up anything either. But you know why I didn't give up anything? Because I'm still bum hurt. Because the things I did have to give up, I had to give up caffeine. Salt, as you were saying there. So, but let's put it this way here. One thing I am happy about is I don't have to deal with eating Peeps for Easter.
Ah, you went there.
I did. Yes.
Peeps are a mainstay of Easter. Like, you can't have Easter without Peeps.
So what do you like about Peeps?
I like the texture of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. And you know what's funny is that I really don't like marshmallows per se. Like, I'm not a huge s'mores person.
Okay.
I'll put them on sweet potatoes, like, and you know, but like,
but you won't eat them just raw.
No, like mellow cups or like any of the other stuff that's like marshmallowy, like Rocky Road ice cream that's marshmallows. Okay. Like, I don't like that. But Peeps, I freaking love them. Like, they're great. Oh, no. I put them in hot cocoa. I let them get a little stale so I can just, yeah. They're almost better when they're a little stale.
Well, Becca, you ignorant glut.
That's a nice spin on that.
Right. So why don't I like Peeps? First off is that you take them out of the package, they're like pretty much like within a few minutes they're like stale.
Oh, that's so good when they're like that though.
No. Also too, they dye your fingers ridiculous colors.
They do that.
Yes.
But I don't mind that so much.
And then also too, on top of it, it's just full of sugar.
It's all sugar. Like, that's what I love about it.
And then the next thing is that there's no flavor whatsoever is what they're saying here online. But I think there's a flavor and it sucks. But here's the thing. I have a pack of Peeps here.
You bought Peeps.
And I'm going to eat one.
Okay. Yay.
On the podcast here. And we're going to see what I think about them now. I've not had them in years. So let me open this up here.
I love them, man. My mom, she used to put them in our Easter baskets. And like by the morning, they would be stale. So the first time I ever tried a Peep, it was stale. So I kind of like got my christening that way.
So taking them out of the package, and I realized these are the bunny
bunnies.
Ones.
Yeah. Yes.
These aren't the actual like ducks, I guess you can call them, or Peeps.
Peeps.
So, and I have a napkin here just in case, you know. But let me go ahead and get one out here. Okay. And here we go.
Down the hatch. What do you think? They're not bad, are they? Huh. Yeah.
They've actually gotten better.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's good stuff, huh? Yeah, they're good.
These are at least fresh. I will give them that much. I think everything I've eaten in the past has been raw.
Stale.
Stale.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sugar. Yeah,
lots of sugar, yeah. You can't eat a lot of them at the same time.
Sugar upon sugar upon sugar.
Otherwise, you'll be like getting the zoomies at inappropriate times.
But I also noticed I was out at the dollar store. I stopped there after I worked out today, which I picked up those Peeps. There's Peeps gummies. I'm sorry. Sorry, eating the Peep. There's Peeps gummies now. So
I haven't seen those.
So let me open these up here and we'll see if we can
do Joe, like it. You know, I never thought I'd live to see the day that you would eat a Peep.
And actually, I was wrong. I am sorry.
They're awesome.
They're okay.
Yeah. You know, you have a different palate as an adult than you do as a kid. Because like there's stuff that I liked as a kid that I couldn't tolerate now. But
I guess another thing is with these Peeps, they don't melt well over a fire, which I guess is the only good place to put them at.
I've never tried, actually. You know what? I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna see what happens. Roast
so I've opened up these gummies, so they look like the bunnies again. And I'm actually gonna open these up here, and we're gonna see what these say. It's like, watch these be awful.
Yeah, I've never tried these. I don't have an opinion. Those are good.
These are one stale. Oh my God. I can't chew the damn things to save my life.
Oh, they're those like ones you have to gnaw on.
Yeah, I think like gummies worms, but like twice as tough. They do taste good though. I will give them that one.
They're pretty good. Peeps, they have them in different flavors now too. I saw cinnamon ones. I saw birthday cake ones. Mm-hmm. I only eat the regular ones though. I'm a purist like that.
Yeah, which is why I got these, because they had probably at the dollar store about 20 different varieties of them.
Oh yeah.
And so I was like, I will get the yellow ones.
It's off the chart now. It used to be just the Peeps, just like the different colored Peeps, and then they came out with the bunnies, and now they have Santas. Mm-hmm. and
they have them for other holidays other than Easter now.
The pumpkins, yep.
So my apologies. Because you and I debated about this online here, and it's kind of like, I just had some. I was like, in what world did they taste good? Well, apparently they taste okay.
Joe has been like razzing me about these like for about a week now. So this is sweet success. It is.
And just to be on the safe side, in case that those Peeps were god awful and I had something good, I have
Junior Mints.
Yes. I mean, who doesn't love Junior Mints? I'm sorry.
Yeah, those are pretty good. Those are pretty good.
But yeah, it's the Easter season. And I figured because I'm an adult, I'm making a basket here. I might as well get my own candy.
I am trying very hard not to make any offensive Easter jokes like I would.
Oh, come on, make one. I don't care.
Another Zombie Jesus Day is coming. I mean, when you think about it, it's kind of like he was dead and then he rose from the dead. I mean, that's a zombie, like by definition. Like
technically, yeah, you are correct. Oh boy, oh boy. That did actually not go the way I expected it to. I expected to taste it and it to be awful, but it actually was good.
You were unprepared. You blew my whole entire
world. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a happy accident, though, you know?
Exactly.
Now you know you like them, and if you're going to hanker in and they're out for a holiday, you know?
You're also not expecting me to eat those peeps live on the air.
I was not. I wasn't ready for that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to actually see a facial reaction.
Because I told Becca before the show started, it's like, hey, I have a secret. I have a surprise for you. She's like, no, I can't take this surprise. Ah, I was like, no, you'll be fine. Trust me. It's all against me.
Aw, I'm happy you took a step.
Okay. I still have two of them that I will eat them later. So anyways, so you went and saw Rent.
I did. I went and saw Rent at the Point Park Pittsburgh Theater down on Forbes. Okay.
So these are like students. They're doing like
shows
and stuff, right?
Yeah. And I love the show Rent. It means a lot to me. When I was in the show myself back in 2015 and like the way we bonded as a cast was amazing. So it made Rent like just that much more special to me. So I was super excited to go.
And it kind of like, you know, like Rent was like one of those shows that kind of really changed a lot of things in theater.
It did.
Like, you know, if people singing in a microphone, if a microphone breaks, the technician just comes up and brings them in their microphone or something. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of like, you don't see that kind of stuff in theater, you know?
Yeah. And it talks about a lot of heavy topics, you know, drug addiction, you know, the AIDS epidemic. And so I went with high hopes, and because it's Point Park, you know, that's what they're known for, musical theater. Like I went there, like that's
like you thought this was gonna be good and you didn't think twice about it.
Yeah. But it was very lackluster. You know, they might have been just having an off night, maybe.
Okay.
Because it does happen. There's this weird phenomenon where, like, the night before you go on, you have the worst rehearsal ever, and then opening night is fantastic, and then the second night is just like it.
But you had the best rehearsal before that blah night.
Yeah, and then so the kids were tired. Like you could tell they were tired.
So it sounds like it may have been an off night there. Yeah, if they're tired.
That's what I was thinking. That I, you know, it was just there was a character choice that I wasn't sure about. The character of Mimi was played by this girl. I forget what her name is, but she was beautiful. She looked the part. Like she even had kind of, you know, a Hispanic accent. But she was doing this weird thing with her voice.
Okay.
Like, at the end of every line, she kind of went up and squeaked at the end.
Hello, like valley girl.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know. It was a little cringy, but I mean, she had a beautiful singing voice. Like she had real power to her voice. She was a strong singer.
So she wasn't very good.
Well, she was, but it like off night, I think. I think it was just that they were not at their best, I guess.
Was there anything else wrong? You don't hear me doing that, do you?
Yeah, I hear you. I just caught on. I just caught on. It's been a long week until today.
I'm mother. This joke is falling flat, really flat.
I'm sorry.
Because like you said, like every word you said, like the last word was up.
Yeah, it went up. It was like a, not even like a volume. It was just like a squeak that kind of happened at the end.
And just those little things can get very annoying after a while.
Yeah. It was kind of like that. And I know what she was probably going for, but it just wasn't coming off that way. But but yeah, she was beautiful. She did have a powerful singing voice. Like, you know, Mimi and Roger sing No Day But Today, that little duet that they do in the middle of La Vie Boheme.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. The kid that played Angel, though, oh my gosh, he was so good. It was like he was born playing that part.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, and he was so cute, like so stinking cute. And he was really, really talented. The guy that played Roger was really cute too. Like, he was a cute kid. And, you know, he did well. He played capably. The guy that played Mark played it capably.
So it sounds like the casting was pretty good. Was there some, like, was there any technical problems?
So I don't know if they had an orchestra or if it was like pre-recorded music. Now, a friend of mine said that Point Park, you know, always nowadays always uses an orchestra. But if it was an orchestra, it was way back somewhere. So the volume and of the microphones that they were singing, like their headsets and the music, it was uneven. It sounded like the vocals were a little louder than the music.
The music was like too quiet, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't, it didn't sound, I don't know. It didn't sound like it was meshing together.
And the musicians weren't in the same room, huh?
No. If it was an orchestra, they were not in the room. They were like backstage somewhere.
So it's probably one of those things that I would imagine that, yeah, unfortunately they probably don't use an orchestra nowadays. When I was still going to shows a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were kind of like, some of the selections in the show will be pre-recorded.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I'm not really a theater type person though. So, I mean, but still, like, being a quote unquote amateur musician, and I put that in heavy quotes because the word amateur, because not very good.
I've done a lot of shows that, you know, we had a full orchestra, and that was just community theater. So like, that's what I would have expected from Point Park University. But a friend of mine said that it probably was an orchestra, but it was like backstage somewhere.
It's like, let's cram you in a closet somewhere.
Like, I've done shows where we've had the band on stage with us, like they were kind of built into the set, which is very cool. And I feel like they could have probably done something like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess that kind of hampered. I mean, it's kind of like when you're noticing glaring technical problems.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of distracting. Mm-hmm. It distracts from, you know, the actors that are putting on this show for you, you know?
Exactly. I mean, I have to give you credit though. You being a theater person, doing theater things, I can never do that. So it's kind of like, you know, people being parents. It's kind of like,
yeah,
I can't do that. I can't raise a kid. I probably have that kid killed within, you know, a few hours, but so I give you all the credit in the world, but I don't want
Thank you. Yeah. You know what? I started out young too. I started dancing when I was 3 or 4. I started dance lessons, and yeah, I took lessons like straight up through college, you know?
Okay.
And you know, when you're in a show, you really never stop training, because you know, you have your dance parts of it and you have your musical parts of it, and they never let you go just dry singing. There's always a warm up. So you're always rehearsing. And yeah, it's always been a part of my life being on stage. I haven't done it in a number of years. Like, I think 2017 was the last time I was in a full blown performance. Was Rocky Horror, I believe, was the last one.
What did you play in that show?
Depends where. I've done it multiple times. I have played Magenta two different times, and I've been in the ensemble probably 3 or 4 more other times.
See, my only worry about doing a play or a show, doing theater, would be is that I can't remember my damn lines to save my life.
You'd be surprised like how you can memorize that. It like, because how I always did it, was I would memorize the line before whoever had that and the whatever line after. So I knew what I was responding to. Okay. And it all that always helped me with my like remembering lines. Like something like Magenta though, like she only has like three lines on the whole play.
Yeah. So it's like not that hard then to remember.
Yeah. That. Yeah. It's more of a.
And then also too, probably kind of just a repetition of doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Cause I was in Steel Magnolias once and I played Weezer and I was like 24 years old. So they had to really make me up to look like an old lady. And that I was a little worried that I wasn't going to be able to remember all those lines, but you'd be surprised. How, like, when you're in that, just in the environment and you have people encouraging you, you know, it's,
yeah,
it makes a difference.
So I give you a lot of credit for that still, nonetheless, because it's not something that I could do just due to that factor. I would just be terrified going out on stage and forgetting my lines, you know.
Aww.
You know, I'd be like one of those people would be like you're being off the stage, you'd be like, huh, with my tail between my legs. Yeah. That would be me.
Oh yeah, stuff happens on stage. Like, I was watching this version of Into the Woods on YouTube one time, and there's a cow that is, you know, a central part of the story in the first act, and they had this. I don't know if it was made out of paper mache or something, but they picked this cow up and the whole thing just broke in half.
Oh no.
like right in the middle of a performance. So stuff does happen. The one year we did Rocky Horror, the way they did the one scene where, you're familiar with Rocky, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's this scene, you know, where Frank is like in bed with Janet and she's like, oh no, you know, I love Brad. And he, you know, coerces her into it. And then he does the same thing to Brad. The way they did this scene is they had the bed. And so like Janet was in there and then Frank was in there and the lights were off and you heard Janet talking and Frank talking and then the lights come up and then the lights go down again. And Janet rolled off the bed so Brad could roll onto the bed. Okay. And while she was on the other side, the bed collapsed.
Oh, no. It
collapsed right down on her. And you know what? Give that girl credit. She didn't move. She didn't make a peep. She just went on like a professional.
You were also talking about Into the Woods. Yeah. And I saw that show in high school.
It's long.
Okay, then I also saw somewhere else. I can't remember exactly, like at CMU.
Oh,
I saw it at like one of these college things.
Yeah.
There's a slight difference between the high school version and the college version.
Yeah.
Basically, the wolf.
The wolf, yeah.
I was a little shocked to see a penis on a wolf.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
we did that at this little theater in Anna, Illinois.
Okay.
I played the witch, which was really, really terrifying. I went to this audition and I had actually never seen Into the Woods.
Oh no.
And I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I auditioned and I was driving home from the audition and they offered me the role.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, you know, we'd like you to be the witch. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, and I thought it was just like a supporting character or something. I didn't know that she was like the main character.
Oh, good Lord.
Like, I got home, my ex-wife, because I was being real blasé about, oh, yeah, I got the part of the witch. And she's looking at me.
It's like the witch.
But she has this dubious look on her face, and she goes, Have you seen Into the Woods? And I was like, no, you know what? I haven't. She goes, I think we need to watch it. And it was on Netflix or something at the time. So she puts it on. And then I realized, and halfway through the witch's rap, I had tears streaming down my face because I was so terrified of doing this part.
Calling them back, be like, no, I can't do this.
No, I thought about it. I did.
It's like, here's your script. And they bring out this big book. And it's like, like 3 inches thick. Here you go.
It's massive. It's, I mean, the play is almost 3 hours long.
Oh, wow. So yeah, like that kind of stuff there, like I was going back to what I was saying before, I would be terrified about that. So
I'll stage fright.
so how'd you end up doing with that? Pretty good?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I wound up doing all right. I was capable, you know.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. The costume was fun. I got to wear a prosthetic nose and stuff.
No prosthetic penis for you, huh?
No, that was on the
Right,
wolf.
yeah, exactly. Speaking of prosthetic penises, this weekend I'm gonna see you in person.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm having that a Cards Against Humanity little game night here, and there's going to be a bunch of people, and my small little apartment's going to be crowded, but
Yeah.
yeah, you're going to get to meet like my main group of friends, really. So
Awesome. Awesome.
yeah,
Awesome.
you met Chris and Bettina
Yeah.
already,
Okay,
and
so they're coming.
they have other plans, but yeah, they were going to come. But they did tell me to tell you that if you ever want to hang out, to reach out to them. They found you delightful.
Aw. I found them delightful as well. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll definitely hang.
Yeah, hit them up. They would love it. Ding, new friend.
Woohoo.
But yeah,
So
and
you
you're
like card
coming.
games, huh?
I do. I like to play Texas Hold'em.
Have you ever played Moose Master before?
I have not. I don't know
Okay,
what
I
that
have
is.
that game. I'll bring it next time you have a game night, or maybe I'll have one. I don't know.
Oh yeah, you should. I mean,
Yeah.
like you try to get people together to go out to dinner and stuff like that, and then people are like, "Man, no." You say game night, and all us old heads are like, "Yeah,
Sure, yeah, why not?
yeah."
The best thing I could suggest to do is that if you learn how to play Moose Master, go online and look for the Smosh videos. They play Moose
Okay.
Master on their Smosh Games channel. And oh my God, it is so fucking hilarious. It's kind of like, it's like you know, like for example, like you'll pick a card and be like story time. Pick a story one frame at a time, and it'll be like, and I'll say I. And you have to say I and then add in our word. And then I have to go ahead and I repeat what you said and add in our word and so on and so forth.
Oh, okay. So it's like the one fat hen drinking game.
I guess I don't know what that game is, to be honest with you.
Go one fat hen, and then you say one fat hen. And then I say one fat hen, couple of duck. And then you say one fat hen, couple of duck. And you keep adding things, and it gets more and more complicated. And
Okay.
you have to repeat it verbatim, or else you have to take a drink.
Like another thing too they'll have in this game is like you'll have the name of celebrity and you'll have to use the last name of that celebrity as the first name of the next celebrity.
Oh
Yeah, it's like Farrah Fawcett.
yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So like you end up in situations like that very quickly.
Yeah. You just had a birthday.
I did. Yeah, it was yesterday actually. So
Happy birthday, Joe.
I am officially old. Old, I say. Old. Or as somebody else would say.
Gay, gay, gay.
But anywho. Oh my God, we're off to a ranky start here, but we're gonna
Oh,
be a little
yeah.
more somber here in the next. So once we come back, we're gonna discuss the latest news about Next Benedict. Support for LGBTQ folks are falling, but also too, there's more of us. And that will be coming up next as Not Straightcast continues after this. Vacaya is a fresh approach to LGBT plus travel. One focused entirely on LGBT plus guests and creating memorable bespoke experiences built around amazing destinations, stellar entertainment, world-class hospitality, and endless fun. Vacaya's full ship and full resort vacations are built for the entire LGBTQIAPK community, so guests can have the freedom to express their individuality, make personal connections, celebrate life, rev up, or simply relax together. So if someone believes that love is love, then they belong on a Vacaya vacation. Fuel your Vacaya dreams with their e-newsletter or book a vacation by visiting nsc.lgbt/vacaya. That's nsc.lgbt/VACAYA. If ensuring speed and security for your websites is a top priority for you, Then search no further than Vox Onyx's shared website hosting plans. Vox Onyx uses SSD-powered servers and provides numerous site acceleration tools that will make your websites load noticeably faster. Additionally, Vox Onyx has deployed ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, Vox Onyx will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system at no cost to you. Get started with a free 30-day trial. You don't even need a credit card. At voxonyx.com. That's VOXONX.com. Afterwards, it's only $4.42 per month. Visit voxonyx.com to get started now. And welcome back to the Not Straight Cast. We're going to get into the news here, but before we start with our stories, we're going to talk about something first that was kind of very unfortunate. And basically, that's about Next Benedict. So I guess, as you probably heard in Not Straight News, our newscast there that we have, is that basically the Owosso Police Department, they released preliminary information from an autopsy report that they said that shows that Next's death was not the result of trauma, but it was the result of suicide from the combined toxicity of two drugs. So basically their death was ruled a suicide as opposed to being a result of the trauma.
Yeah, there's like half of me that can like see how that would happen. That's how a lot of suicides happen with young people is because of bullying. But they beat the living crap out of Nex.
So like, that really belays the issue there. It's kind of like, was this a combination of both or a fact that they were basically beat up and also to like the drugs they found in the system there?
Did they mention like what drugs they were, like what they took?
I'm taking a look here at the story here right now. And it doesn't actually mention other than the fact that one was over the counter. And one was prescription, but I think the combination of them both could have been possibly toxic there. But on the other hand, Nex's family is not particularly happy about the result of the autopsy.
Yeah, because I don't think they did that. I think they died from the trauma and this is them trying to cover it up.
Yeah, because it said actually in the report, the medical examiner found multiple areas of physical trauma over Nex's body in the evidence of the severity of the assault.
Yeah, like it was like multiple people on one person, like they beat the living crap out of them. And
so basically, I think like basically whether they died from suicide from an overdose of drugs doesn't necessarily stop the fact that they were bullied.
Right. Like that doesn't negate any of it. Like,
and the bullying led to that, you know, so.
Right.
So you have the bullying issue there.
I wonder if there's anything legally that Nex's family can do. Like if it did lead to, if it was suicide and they were pushed, there have been cases where people have been charged for pushing people like to the brink of, you know, doing something like that.
I think it's really when the situation's for time is going to tell, because basically in this case, then if it comes out and it says, hey, physical trauma and the school district did nothing about it.
Yeah. Then
they could have a case against them.
Yeah. If I were the family, I would have my own autopsy done.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't take what the powers that be are saying. I wouldn't believe it until I had, you know, my own proof.
So I have a feeling this is not the last we're going to hear about this, because this is just awful, you know,
it's
just getting worse.
Yeah. Like they didn't deserve any of that. Like,
and let's be honest, people die from bullying every day.
They do. So, I have somebody very close to me that has had a lifelong eating disorder because of how she was treated as a kid by other kids.
So while it may not necessarily resulted in death, it resulted in something very serious.
Very serious, yeah. Yeah, it has lifelong consequences sometimes.
It's just kind of like, I imagine this is probably not the last we're going to hear about this. And so
I hope not. I hope that they continue to dig and that they don't just, this doesn't get just brushed under the carpet like so many other things do.
Exactly. But anyways, Yeah. In another sad state of affairs, apparently support for LGBTQ folks are dropping.
Yeah. According to new findings from the Nonpartisan Public Religion Research Institute, public support for same-sex marriage and non-discrimination protections for LGBT plus Americans have fallen for the first time since 2015. And what happened in 2015? That was the election that put Donald Trump in office.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
so there's that. The majority of Americans, regardless of party affiliation or faith, continue to support LGBTQ plus rights and protections. It is notable, however, that public support has declined after years of increasing. The three policies that were analyzed for the survey were same-sex marriage, anti-discrimination protections, and refusal of religious services. It found for all three measures had softened for the first time since PRRI began tracking views of the issues nearly a decade ago. Despite the vast majority of Americans continuing to endorse protections for LGBTQ Americans, the results may serve as a warning to those fighting to safeguard LGBTQ plus rights against conservative legislative and legal efforts. It was expected that LGBTQ plus rights would gradually gain more support in American society over the last few years, as evidenced by the Guardian's American Values Atlas, which found support was rising or staying steady across a number of indicators until last year. According to its findings, support for same-sex marriage slipped from 69% of Americans in 2022 to 67% in 2023. Support for policies that protect LGBTQ plus Americans from discrimination in employment, housing, and public discrimination fell from 80% in 2022 to 76% in 2023. Opposition to allowing businesses to refuse services to LGBTQ plus Americans on religious grounds dropped from 65% of Americans in 2022 to 60% in 2023. The analysts also identified a strong correlation between those who adhere to Christian nationalism, a once fringe belief that the U.S. was founded as a Christian nation and its laws should reflect Christian values, and opposition to policies protecting LGBTQ plus rights. Public support for LGBTQ plus rights soared following the Supreme Court's 2015 ruling that established a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. In response, social conservatives have orchestrated a well-funded backlash to the expansion of rights for LGBTQ plus Americans, waging an aggressive campaign against the trans community as a way to rally the Republican base. At the state level, Republican-led legislatures have enacted a sweeping array of new laws banning gender-affirming care for transgender youth and, in some cases, adults, as well as placing new controls on gender expression in schools, from the pronouns students use to the sports teams they play on, the books they can read, and bathrooms that they're allowed to use. Several states have also moved to restrict drag performances.
Good Lord.
Yeah, because you know, they're so dangerous. More than half of LGBTQ plus Americans are religiously unaffiliated, while more than a third identify with a Christian faith. Nearly 6 in 10 LGBTQ plus Americans consider themselves politically liberal. And you wonder why.
Exactly. So along with, I guess, the support for LGBTQX dropping, there happens to be more of us now. So yeah. The proportion of U.S. adults identifying as LGBTQ has continued to increase, reaching a new high of 7.6% in the latest Gallup poll. That's up from 7.2% in the poll that came out a year ago. And it was 5.6% 4 years ago and 3.5% in 2012. And 2012 was Gallup's first year measuring sexual orientation and gender identity. So yeah. The numbers are drawn from phone surveys conducted by Gallup in 2023. Reaching 12,000 American adults. I'm surprised they didn't get anybody to answer the damn phone, to be honest with you there. If it's not a known number, I'm not answering it. Anyways, the polling organization asked respondents whether they identify as heterosexual, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or something else. Overall, 85.6% identified as straight or heterosexual. 7.6% chose one or more identities within the LGBTQ umbrella. and 6.8% declined to say. So as in previous years, the growth was driven by younger generations of the total LGBTQ plus population identified in the poll in 2023. 22.3% of Generation Z claimed an LGBTQ plus identity, 9.8% of millennials, 4.5% Generation X, 2.3% for baby boomers, and 1.1% for the silent generation.
Yay, they didn't forget Generation X for once.
And we're both part of Gen X.
Yeah.
So anyways, there, the greater LGBTQ representation among younger people could be due to more acceptance of LGBTQ plus identity and therefore greater willingness to come out. Or it could be attributed to other factors. However, this is outside of Gallup's scope of research. Women were nearly twice as likely as men to identify as LGBTQ plus, with 8.5% of women doing so compared to 4.7% of men. But why do we have all these gay bars and no lesbian bars if twice as many women are identifying?
Yeah.
That could be another debate for another show.
There's a reason for it, but we'll talk about that another time.
Apparently, the largest proportion of LGBTQ plus respondents identified as bisexual, with 57.3% of LGBTQ plus adults saying that they're bi. So the gender differences don't reflect the non-binary population. About 1% of U.S. adults in the 2023 survey reported that they're non-binary. And that's too small of a proportion for Gallup to arrive at a precise number. However, in 2022 and 2023, data combined that indicate about 8% of non-binary adults identify as LGBTQ+, with one-third being bisexual and one-third transgender. On the whole, the generational differences and trends point to higher rates of LGBTQ plus identification nationally in the future, Gallup reports. If current trends continue, it's likely that the proportion of LGBTQ plus identifiers will exceed 10% of U.S. adults at some point in the next three decades. So that's some good news there.
Yeah, I think that a lot of younger people especially they're just way more open-minded than, you know, any of our generations. Like, I guess Gen X kind of marches to the beat of their own drum, but definitely the silent generation and baby boomers, you know, it was something of a shameful thing. They were taught that it was shameful, you know, and just men in general. It's not surprising that, you know, women are more comfortable exploring their sexuality or coming to the realization that they, you know, aren't, you know, entirely straight. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of men have trouble with that. Based on, you know, perceived, you know, masculine traits and what you should or shouldn't be. Like there are men that won't wash their own assholes because right. they think it's exactly. gay, you know,
like be hygienic. We don't care.
Yeah. Wash your ass.
Exactly. But also too, I think, especially with our generation, Gen X is that whenever we were headed towards the end of high school in the late 90s and stuff. I'm not sure whenever you came out of the closet.
I was 22.
Okay. And I was 18 when I came out. Okay.
Yeah, college.
So this is after high school. But there was an inherent shame in being gay or just LGBTQ as a whole. Back in that day, like back in the mid-90s there, it was still fashionable to be, you know, anti-LGBTQ. You know, nowadays it's not, thank God.
Yeah.
But before it was kind of like, you know, people making fun of you or putting you down because you were gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender or whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Was, you know, it was commonplace and unfortunately normal. And I think you and I were kind of on the tail end of that generation that we're still dealing with that.
Yeah. Like, I remember, like, that's what's so scary about, like, seeing the direction that the country's heading now. Like, we've gone backwards in a terrifying way.
Uh-huh.
And like the mid to late 90s, like maybe up until about 1995, but like 95 and up was like the second wave of the gay civil rights movement. And because that's when Brandon Tino was murdered. That's when Matthew Shepard was murdered. And that really brought our plight to the national stage. And
right. And I think things kept getting better and better and better.
Yeah, because
but then Trump came in the office.
Then Trump came along. Yeah, because you know, at that time, like even in media, like there, you would have gay characters that were like stereotypically gay, you know,
gay.
You know, as long as they were eunuchs about it, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like the character of Hollywood from the movie Mannequin in the 80s was a really, really like what you'd call flaming gay man. But he, like, you had to play the character so charming and cute and everything and not make it sexual. But
the performance outweighed the fact that they were gay. Kind of like Birdcage, you know, it's like their performances of Nathan Lane and Robin Williams were so good.
Yeah.
You kind of forgot the fact that they were gay, you know?
Right. But then, you know, you came into the later 90s and like Ellen DeGeneres had her show where she came out and like.
And I think that was the big thing with our generation.
Yep. You know, she was the reason I came out of the closet.
Yeah.
She was the reason that I had the guts to come out of the closet, which was really disappointing to find out, you know, the stuff that came out about her recently. But
it's also the reason an ex and I broke up.
Because Ellen
because we were in the discussion there and he was kind of anti Ellen coming out of the closet.
Why?
I don't know, but I don't know.
That's weird. We all
internalized homophobia, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
But still, yeah, it was kind of like we got into a debate about it. And I'll be honest, I was a little more open at the time, you know? So yeah. I was arguing, you know, for her coming out of the closet there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of like I come out of the closet. I'm kind of like, you know, I'm kind of like
gay.
that was me. When I came out, I was shitting rainbows.
Like right. Exactly. Yeah. That's how I was too. And that's probably about the time I was dating. So
I miss those days sometimes. I do.
I do too. I do too.
You know, like,
uh-huh.
But when I had the energy to, you know, fight and go to protests and go to the parade and everything and just how much it meant, you know.
Right, exactly. And how good I looked in the day. I look at pictures of myself. I'm kind of like,
oh nice. I know. Yeah, it used to be cute. Well,
exactly.
Gravity happened. And
right. And nowadays, we're just at home. It's like. See, I got it in somehow.
Yeah. Just sitting here drinking my tea, my Metamucil.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Taking my meds. Get out my walker later. I'm going to take a walk. But anyways, here, we're going to go ahead and we're going to take another break. And when we return, an unexpected twist about sexuality and gender in Florida classrooms and all store response to selling anti-LGBTQ books. It's Not Straight Cast continues after these messages.
Body Jewelry has been in the business of supplying high-quality body jewelry items for more than a decade.
They supplied navel rings, nose studs, barbells, nipple rings, any item of body jewelry you need.
Their items are crafted from top materials like gold, titanium, steel, and silver, all by leading body jewelry designers.
They also provide fast shipping within 24 hours of your order.
Listeners of the Not Straight Cast can visit nsc.lgbt/body to check out their gallery of products.
That's nsc.lgbt/body.
Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, where conversations spark connections and diversity takes center stage. Tune in for insightful dialogues on love, life, the news, and everything in between. Not Straight Radio is a safe space for all perspectives, fostering understanding and unity. Whether you're questioning, embracing, or advocating, Not Straight Radio is your destination for thought-provoking content that resonates with every shade of the rainbow. Stay connected, stay informed. Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, because everyone's story deserves to be heard. Visit nsc.lgbt/radio to listen now.
Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. We're going to get going here with another story. In an unexpected twist, gender identity and sexual orientation can be discussed in Florida classrooms as long as it is not part of formal instruction. The settlement clarifies the scope of a controversial state education law, but left it standing. Plaintiffs have challenged Florida's 2022 parental rights bill, arguing it can marginalize LGBT youth. Both Florida officials and the plaintiffs claimed victory on Monday. Robert Kaplan, the lead lawyer in the lawsuit, said in a statement that the legal settlement provides much needed clarity and represents a major victory for the many thousands of LGBTQ plus students, teachers, parents, and their allies throughout Florida. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' office called it a major win.
Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, like his office calling it a win when he's the one that like was like had this brainchild is.
He was the one who caused the problem in the first place, right?
Yeah, and then complained that it was raining.
Yeah, that's why we had this lawsuit. Because of him.
Because of him, and he's saying it's a major win. Yeah, because that's not what he meant. Uh-huh. You know, he's backpedaling now. So we fought hard to ensure this law couldn't be maligned in court as it was in the public arena by the media and large corporate actors, said General Counsel Ryan Newman. The Parental Rights in Education Act, dubbed by critics as the Don't Say Gay Bill, initially prohibited classroom discussion and instruction about gender identity and sexual orientation in kindergarten through third grade in state public schools.
No homo.
Sorry, I am completely off the wall with these effects today. I'm sorry.
almost choked.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That was later expanded to all grades through high school. The law sparked a political firestorm, receiving rebuke from LGBT and civil rights groups, as well as from major companies like Disney, which has a large presence in the state, and President Joe Biden. The plaintiffs challenging the law argued its vague language would have a chilling effect in schools and lead to confusion about what teachers were allowed to discuss with their students, including things like sharing details about their family lives.
Sorry again. I'm sorry. I'm completely derailing this. I'm sorry.
Mr. DeSantis, a Republican, has claimed critics deliberately misrepresented the law. Now, the settlement clarifies that the law restricts instruction on particular subjects, sexual orientation and gender identity, not mere discussion of them. Allowed under the law are incidental references in literature to gay or transgender people or same-sex couples. It would not restrict lines referring to LGBTQ issues in musicals, dancing between persons of the same gender at school dances, or references in a classroom to a person's family. It doesn't apply to library books not being used in instruction, and it allows students to participate in extracurricular activities like joining a school gay-straight alliance. It also clarifies the law is neutral, meaning limits on instruction apply to both LGBT and heterosexual topics. According to the terms of the settlement, the Florida Department of Education must provide a copy of the agreement and the guidelines it establishes to the school boards in each school district. So that's great, you know.
I can see where both sides would say this is a win, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Because in one case there, it's kind of like, you know, the pro-LGBTQ folks are like, this is not as restrictive as what we thought it was originally.
I mean, it's typical for, you know, on both sides, you're going to have propaganda and you're going to have people that have the whole straw man argument.
I guess there are too many questions about this law and people were basically running into situations where, you know, somebody would say that they're gay, you know, they would come out of the closet and end up getting fired over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause when they were first started talking about that, the language was very vague and it didn't clarify anything. And, you know, of course people were going to run with that you know, because that's what people do.
Right.
But you know what? On the same token, I believe that initially, you know, that's exactly what Ron DeSantis had in mind. He wanted to, you know, cut it out entirely, but he received too much backlash from it. Like, he's not popular.
It was like the pendulum was maybe, I guess this is not necessarily the best way to say this here, but basically the pendulum was too far in one way. And whenever they introduced his law, it went too far the other way. And now it's come back to somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still unfortunate that this law exists, but it's kind of like if it exists, and while Ron DeSantis is governor, it probably is going to exist in the legislature in Florida, is mainly Republican, and things are getting passed.
Yeah.
It's almost like this is the best we can hope for. So moving on to the next story here, Alstora, the online bookstore co-founded by RuPaul, recently faced a whirlwind of criticism after it was revealed that the company was selling anti-LGBTQ books by right-wing authors, including Libs and TikTok's Chaya Rachik.
Oh, she's foul.
After initially doubling down and claiming the opposed censorship of any kind, the company quietly reversed itself before putting out a public apology. The evolving decision to remove titles from right-wing extremists has sparked outrage among conservative media types who accused the platform of censorship and hypocrisy, challenging its initial commitment to fighting book bans and promoting a broad spectrum of voices. In a statement posted on the company's website Saturday, Eric Cervini, CEO of Alstora, an author, addressed the initial controversy. "I want to take responsibility for mistakes, and I want to apologize," Cervini said, acknowledging the backlash from customers, RuPaul fans, marginalized authors, and readers who felt betrayed by the platform's decisions. Cervini wrote that he neglected to maintain a platform for queer people that served as a safe space for marginalized voices, and in building that space, I failed. Following the advocate's initial inquiry over the books by far-right authors, Alstora responded by updating its website to flag controversial titles as contrary to our core values and committed proceeds from these sales to fight against book bans throughout donations to the Rainbow Book Bus, a philanthropic arm of the venture. However, the company said it stood by its decision to sell books from all points of view and stand against censorship. However, this move did not quell the dissent, with prominent figures like drag queen Lady Bunny voicing skepticism and disappointment over Alstora's approach on Instagram. She said, "Rue has a new, just announced book company called Alstora, but when you look at the site, you can buy Hitler's My Cough. Those ain't my people," she said. She further questioned the platform's reliance on community feedback to filter objectionable content and critiqued the essence of rainbow capitalism that seemed to underpin the venture. Cervini's apology shed light on this response, detailing the platform's initial broad inclusion of literature. He said, "We decided to respond to the book bans with radical inclusivity, but therein lay my mistake. I wasn't, in fact, building a library. Rather, I was building a platform to champion underserved authors and create community around their stories." In his apology, he elaborated on the corrective measures Alstora is implementing, including introducing a reader-based flagging system to identify and remove objectionable content. He said, "Going forward, we are committed to recentering these tenets." And RuPaul, who's currently traveling on a book tour to promote his memoir, The House of Hidden Meanings, has not commented on the controversy.
RuPaul has had some problematic things happen around him. As I know, a number of years ago, he was really railed by, you know, left-wing advocates because he allows fracking on his land. Like,
right. He lives in Montana, right?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. Yeah, and he has this ranch, and yeah, he gets paid for them to frack on his land, and you know that upset a lot of people. And then
gotta make that moolah somehow, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that you can have that much money and be ethical at the same time. Like, somebody got stepped on somewhere.
I think it's one of those things. They're trying to make money, so they're selling as many books as they can, probably to compete with all the other booksellers out there, like Barnes
right.
and Noble, Amazon, you know.
And they probably also didn't really have any kind of input on what book. They probably just like uploaded all this stuff
right.
and didn't pay attention and, you know, to what was, you know, being put on the website. And that's not censorship to take those books out of there. You know, if a bookstore doesn't want to carry your book, that's not censorship. You can sell it elsewhere.
That was a big line that he said there. It's like, "I'm not building a library. I'm building a bookstore."
And yeah.
If it was a library, yeah, I can understand why you wouldn't include, you know, authors that you may not necessarily agree with, because it's a library.
Right.
But on
right,
any hand,
that's
if
different.
It's a bookstore, you have a choice whether you sell those books or not. And why are you selling those books other than to make a profit if they go against the whole entire grain of what the LGBTQ community stands for?
Yeah.
So anyways, here, we're going to go ahead here and take our final break. We'll be back with our moment of conclusion on Not Straight Gas after these messages.
Couplet is passionate about specialty coffee. Queer woman owned and built for everyone, Couplet was created to make great coffee more fun and approachable. We skip the pretentious tasting notes and gatekeeping and go right to the good part. Ridiculously delicious coffee. You can prepare however the f*** you like. Shop online at nsc.lgbt/coffee. That's nsc.lgbt/COFFEE.
Want to support Not Straight Cast? Visit the notstraightcast.com/store, where you can get a Not Straight Cast t-shirt, hat, bag, coffee mug, and much, much more. Along with getting some snazzy merchandise, your purchase in the notstraightcast.com/store also helps support the show. Once again, that's notstraightcast.com/store.
Now it's time for our moment of conclusion.
Yay!
Woohoo. So Lil Nas X's role as a coach ambassador took a dark turn over the weekend thanks to an unfortunate pairing. The industry baby rapper was spotted running the New York City half marathon on Sunday with one glaring issue at play. Rather than wearing shoes for, you know, running, he had on a pair of designer distressed high top sneakers from Coach. According to Page Six, Lil Nas just straight up doesn't own any running shoes and has only run 3 miles in a single go prior to the event. Apparently, he had planned to swing by a sneaker shop ahead of the marathon to grab some proper footwear, but the place he went to was closed, so he stuck with the brand that he's been repping since becoming an ambassador for them in 2022. Unfortunately, it seems like though his feet weren't too happy with what went down. He said, well, the race went well. Of course, this video was shared by Page Six, and it shows him sitting in a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
Despite ending up with style over support in terms of his shoes, the rapper still managed to finish the half marathon in a little over 2.5 hours, coming in 650th place out of 685 places within his age group and 23,064th out of 27,802 participants overall.
Hey, good for him for still doing it, you know?
I give him credits for running that whole entire half marathon because I would be done after mile one. So.
Yeah, I have trouble walking a mile.
Right. I mean, I work out twice a week there, so I probably do about 2 miles whenever I'm on the treadmill. So I'm kind of used to that by now. But yeah, if you try going over that, it's going to be kind of words to be said, you know? And also, too, though, walking on a treadmill is different than walking in real life, I've learned very, very quickly.
Okay. Worse or better?
It's harder. Yeah. Because you have different elevations go up and down. And on a treadmill, you're pretty much at a flat elevation kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I gotcha. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just... But so I give him a lot of credit, though, because I think, in a sense, their Page Six kind of wrote this story to be headline grabbing with, you know, Lil Nas X in a wheelchair.
Right.
But he actually ran a half marathon, you know. Granted, yeah. He did it in high tops.
In the wrong shoes.
Exactly, yeah. So it wasn't like he did it in like high heel stilettos, you know.
Right. I mean, that'd be impressive, though.
Right. But anyways, here, yeah, that was pretty impressive. And we've come to the end of the show here, so.
We have. Thank you for listening to Not Straight Cast. Subscribe to us where all great podcasts are sold. Visit Not Straight World, which will allow you to access all of our websites, Not Straight Cast, Not Straight Dot News, and Not Straight Radio at notstraightworld.com.
We want to hear from you. Email us at feedback@notstraightcast.com or record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/VM. And until next time, have a Not Straight one. Bye for now.
Bye.